Today, many people want to be like God. The Mormons want to be like God. They tell you that you can be your own God and you can have your own kingdom. New Age people tell you that all you got to do is find the God within you and you can be like God. And so we have a lot of religions and a lot of groups today that want to be God or be like God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for Love. People don't care what you know until they know that you care, part two. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Love. People don't care what you know until they know that you care, part two.
Last week, we started a message in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. And we've been talking about love, and just again, it wasn't intentional on my part, but just so happens that this is Valentine's week, so all work together. But we are talking about the fact that, and you know, I had the opportunity this past week to preach at the seminary, for the seminary chapel. And I always love preaching at the seminary and talking to students who are aspiring to be theologians and pastors and missionaries. It's a great challenge to me as I go. And I think about some of the content that they deal with and how that they deal with the Greek and the Hebrew and how, you know, they deal with church history, the doctrines of church history, and they know the periods of church history, Reformation and Renaissance, and know all the texts that support the writing of the Bible. And you know, when I was in seminary, you know, I went through all that and learned all those things, and I was challenging them, much like I want to challenge us today. And you know, they were excited to hear the message, but you know, I said to them pretty much what I said, started last Sunday saying here and going to continue saying this Sunday, is that people really don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so, you know, those of us who have been through seminary and have gone through all those disciplines and taken the time to learn and to study, you know, people, you know, you get up here, you know, now I have a lot of Greek words in my sermon this morning, and I'm going to break them down for you. And, you know, I try to, you know, study the languages before, you know, I preach, you know, study the languages in preparation for the message. But the bottom line is, you know, people don't know if you know Greek, Hebrew, whatever. You know, if you don't care about them, it don't make any difference what you know. And so, you know, we want to translate whatever it is that we know, whether it's verses that we have memorized, Bible studies that we have gone through, sermons that we have heard, we want to translate it into love. And we want to have this so that we can show the love of God to people. So people really don't care what you know until they know that you care. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll be dealing with part two of the message, and it begins in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, endureth all things. So we're going to focus on these verses this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let us pray. Father, we come to you today and we ask that you would take this message and that you would instill it in our hearts. Lord, help us to understand that it doesn't matter what we know or what we possess, that if we don't have love, it means absolutely nothing. And so, Lord, let love be at the center of all we do. I think of the breakfast that we had yesterday, sharing with the men in the community, inviting them to come out and have breakfast with us. and how that breakfast was motivated by love, our love for this community. We just don't want to be here with this building and say that, you know, we got a place to go worship, but we want to make this building available, Lord, to those around us, and we want to be able to show the love of God. And so, Father, as we come today, I pray that you would challenge our hearts, and that if there is within us a spirit that is not grounded in love, then we pray that you would check us today. Lord, if we are not a loving individual, that you would speak to our hearts so that we could be like you. And Father, we commit this message to you, and we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, from your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week, we looked at love and the believer. And we said that the word for love is agape. And when you think about agape, you know, it involves a lot of things. And we kind of looked at that last week. All right, my brother, if you could move those slides ahead, I would certainly appreciate that. There you go. All right, agape and the believer. And we talked about this in detail last week and how that today many people want to be like God. The Mormons want to be like God. They tell you that you can be your own God and you can have your own kingdom. New Age people tell you that all you got to do is find the God within you and you can be like God. And so we have a lot of religions and a lot of groups today that want to be God or be like God. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters, that we are at no point in time like God than when we are showing love. If you want to be like God, love other people. If you want to be like God, love others. The scripture says that God is love. And so that's the easiest way to be like God. So last week we talked about agape and the believer. And then we gave you the outline for the chapter. And if you go on, we went to the next slide. We gave you the outline for the chapter. And we said that the verses 1 through 3 talks about the power of love. 4 through 7 is the performance of love. 8 through 12 is the permanence of love. And then verse 13 is the preeminence of love. Next slide. We talked about the power of love last week. And we said that love is more powerful than eloquent speech. You can be the greatest speaker in the world, but if you don't have love, Paul said you're just like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Love is more powerful than supernatural abilities. The writer said, though I am able to do great things and I have faith so that I could move mountains, and I don't have love, it's worth nothing. And then we said that love is more powerful. Now, if you think about these things, these are some powerful things. Think about speech and how people are aroused and moved by speech. You know, whole movements have been started. Revolutions have been started based on rhetoric, based on speech. Love is more powerful than speech. Just think about all the supernatural things that take place. Love is more powerful than having supernatural abilities. And just think about the sacrifices that some people have made. Even some people have cut off limbs to sacrifice to their God. If you go back and read in the Old Testament, they sacrificed their babies in order to appease their gods. Love is more powerful than any of these things. So we're trying to give you something today that's going to help you be the best person of God that you can be. Now this morning, what we're going to do, and some of you may moan and groan when I say this, but we're going to take a test this morning. You can write down the answers to the test if you want to, or if you just want to answer them in your mind. We're going to have a test today. And as these verses that we're going to examine, we're going to look at what it means to have love. These verses show love in action. And if, you know, a lot of people can run your mouth. And I tell people all the time, it doesn't cost anything to run your mouth. You can say a lot of things, but love is action. If somebody says that they love you, then there ought to be some action behind it. So this morning, we're going to look at what are some of the actions behind love, that this is love in action. I was reading the Peanuts cartoon one day, and it had a picture of Lucy standing with her arms folded, looking very sternly, and Charlie Brown said, "Lucy, you've got to be more loving. This world really needs love. Don't you know that you can make this world a better place if you show love?" And Lucy had her arms, and she turned around and hit Charlie Brown and knocked him on the ground. And she said, "You blockhead, I love the world. It's the people I can't stand." So we want to help you this morning. The love we want you to love people. You know, it's easy to say I love the world, right? Hey, I love the world, man. Christ, you know, I'm like God. I love the world. You know, somebody said to dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with those we know, hey, that's quite a different story. So, you know, it's easy to talk about love in a generic sense. But let's bring this thing right down to where we live and ask the question, you know, do we have love? Are we a loving individual? And so the first thing we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, it says love suffers long. Now, this word long suffering means that we are slow to get angry. That, you know, there are people around us, loved ones around us, that can set us off real quick. But if we really love them, it takes a long time. That's that word, that Greek word there, makrothumeia, means a long time to heat up. That love is long suffering. And how does that work out? That love is not short-tempered. Love puts up with inconveniences by others. You know, I praise God for my wife because I know my wife has love in her heart for me and love for our family. Because a lot of times, my wife is inconvenienced. And yet and still, I see her keep going. I see her keep doing. You know, in spite of the fact that she might work long hours all day, at the end of the day, when she is called on by her family, at a time when, you know, she wants to just kind of relax and take it easy, that she continues to go. That's long-suffering. That's what the scripture is talking about, that you put up with the inconveniences that have been caused by others. And you know, and I see people in the body of Christ, and praise God for you, that you have loved ones, and I just see you inconveniencing yourself. And why do you inconvenience yourself? You do it because of love. Love puts up with the faults of others. Love does not retaliate when people injure you. Love suffers long. Robert Ingersoll, who was a well-known atheist of the last century, he would often stop in the middle of his lectures and he would say, "I'll give God 5 minutes to strike me dead for the things that I've said." And he did this at all of his speeches. And there was a Christian there on one occasion by the name of Theodore Parker, and he said, "Does the gentleman think he could exhaust the patience of God in 5 minutes?" You can't exhaust God's patience in 5 minutes. Even atheists who shake their fist in the face of God and say, "God, I defy you to strike me down dead." Do you think that the mercy and the grace and the long suffering of God can be exhausted in 5 minutes? No. And why is it that many times Christians are short in the area of love and being patient with one another? Now, if you notice, all the black questions are calling for a positive answer, all right? If you look in 1 Corinthians 13, there are love is put in the positive and the negative. All the red are in the negative. So you should answer yes to all the black and no to all the red. All right, amen. Somebody said, "Bless your heart, Pastor." That's amen. Do you suffer long with your husband, with your wife, with your kids, with your parents? You know, I remember one time when my mother was alive. I went with her one day. She had to pay some taxes over in Turtle Creek. And I went with her over to Turtle Creek to pay these taxes. And it was like 8:30 in the morning. You know, we were the first ones there. And so I said, Mom, I said, I'm going to go park the car. And why don't you go ahead in and, you know, do what you got to do to get us signed up. So I went and parked the car. And my mother was in there and she was sitting down. And we sat there. And there was about five people that came in after us. And they were calling their name. And I'm sitting there with my mom, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe they had a number. I didn't know what the case was. And I'm sitting there, and finally I start seeing people that I knew came in after we had been there, and they were getting called. And so I went up there, and I said, you know, we've been here. We were like the first ones here. And I said, they haven't called our name. And the lady said, well, did you sign your name in when you came in? And I went back and asked my mom. I said, did you sign your name in when we came? She said, no, I didn't. I just came and sat down. I said, bless your heart. Bless your heart. See, love is long-suffering. It's long, you know, like, you know, you can't get upset with your mom, right? You can't get upset with mom. Love is long-suffering. But, you know, sometimes even the people that you love the most, they can wear on you. And they can wear your love out. But if it's there, you won't let it wear you out. That's my mom. I love her. She wasn't going to wear that out. She couldn't wear out. My love for my mom was long-suffering. And that's what I'm trying to tell y'all this morning, that you, if you have the agape in your heart, that you have a long-suffering for the people around you. Secondly, love is kind. The word means that it's useful, it's serving, it's gracious. Love is considerate of others. Love is generous. Love serves and benefits others. If somebody says that they love you, then the first thing, and I'm not trying to be superficial about this, but if somebody says that they love you, then in the back of your mind, you ought to be looking and asking the question, well, what are you giving to me? And I'm not saying that from a selfish standpoint. I'm not saying that from a greedy standpoint. But if somebody says they love you, you ought to ask the question, well, what are you giving to me? And again, I know that could be taken the wrong way, and I don't mean for it to be taken the wrong way. But according to the scripture here, love is kind. Love is giving. And we all have heard the saying that kindness begins where? At home. At home. Generosity, kindness begins at home. So if you want to see if a person is kind and has this agape love, the best person to ask is their husband, their wife, or their kids. Those are the best people to ask. I mean, because, you know, we can put on the false face out here and everybody think, oh, you know, this is a great person. This is the person is the best thing since sliced bread. You know, like best thing since Kool-Aid. But, you know, ask the people who know you. Is this a giving, generous, kind person? How you doing on the test this morning? You know, praise God. This is not a man-centered test. This is not a test that man has devised. This is a God. I mean, everything that I'm saying got scripture behind it, right? Every last thing that I'm saying got scripture behind it. So this is not man's test. This is God's test. All right, we're trying to test your love today. Some of you might find something out about yourself. Love does not envy. It means that love does not have a desire to want what other people have. Love does not wish ill will on other people. Love does not try to take any glory away from anybody else. Now, I'm going to say something. I know I've said this here before, but I'm going to say it again. You know who some of the most jealous people are that I've been around? Preachers. Preachers. They are some of the most jealous folks that I know. You know, and I hear them, well, you know, somebody might have a bigger church than they got, and then they start running them down. They start talking about them. Why do they do that? because they're jealous, all right? They might have certain programs in their church that other churches don't have, and they run the program down. Why? Because they're jealous. And so I understand that this is an issue that's even among those who are God's anointed, that God's choice vessels deal with this issue. And if God's choice vessels are dealing with it, have mercy for the people in the pew. Yeah. You know, it'd be like the one guy, you know, he had this genie show up. And this genie came and he said, whatever I give you, I'm going to double for your enemy. And the genie said, what do you want? He said, I want to be blind in one eye. See, you know, you can't have that kind of spirit. See, some people are jealous. They're so jealous and hate the other person so much that they don't want to see any good happen to them. They want all evil to happen to them. Are you jealous? You know, are you envious in your spirit today? You know, do you look at what somebody else has and do you want what they have? Is there a strong desire? That word jealous actually means to have a strong desire that you want what somebody else has. You know, even I had a preacher tell me one time, he said that he was in the church, right? And he told me that he was married. Him and his wife was having problems. He told me that, you know, the Lord already showed me a lady in the church that's going to be my wife. I said, come on, bro. I said, come on, man. You know, what church you at? You know, he had this spirit of lust, this spirit of envy, desire for something that he shouldn't have a desire for. All right? Number four, love vaunteth not itself. That means you don't go around bragging about yourself. You don't go around proclaiming what you've done. You know, a lot of people, you know, they have a spirit of vainglory. And what that means is that they want to show off their own achievements, that they have a high opinion of themselves, that they want to get credit for the things that God is doing. And then, you know, what they don't know how to do is, you know, some people don't know how to receive a compliment. That if somebody compliments you, that you take it all for you. Instead of, you know, every time, you know, somebody says something, you know, my mind, as far as a compliment, it goes back to that song where it says, if there be any praise, let it go to Calvary. Lord, to God be the glory. So even though somebody might compliment you, that you can receive that compliment and in your heart and in your mind, to God be the glory. If there be any praise in anything that I do, you know, I don't know about you, but I know where I came from. And I know that I done came a mighty long way. I know that I wasn't always sitting up in the church singing the praises of God, reading the word of God and praying. I know that I wasn't there. And I know that God took me, as the psalmist said, out of the miry clay and set me on a solid rock to stand. And I know had it not been for the goodness of the Lord, where would I be? And so I understand that about my life. I understand where I've come from. And so I know that, as I've told you before, I hated even public speaking. That when I was in college, you know, and I took a class and I had to speak, I hated that class. And
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Love. People don't care what you know until they know that you care, part two. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Love, People Don't Care What You Know Until They Know That You Care, part two, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Love, People Don't Care What You Know Until They Know That You Care, part two. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Love. People don't care what you know till they know that you care, part two. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.